How's everybody doing today? You guys all right? Beautiful day, beautiful summer. Glad to have you here. My name is James. I am one of the pastors here at Riverview. And we are now in the very last week of our Wise Words series. And with it being the last week, we decided it'd be fitting to spend some time looking at what the wisdom literature has to say about the Bible itself. Wise words about wise words, if you will. The wisdom literature, particularly the Psalms and the Proverbs, is filled with teaching about why God's word is important for us and also how we can best pursue, absorb, and keep God's word. Now, I get asked this question a lot. People ask me, now, are you nervous when you get up in front of all these people and talk from the Bible and everything? And the answer to that question is, of course, obviously. There's so many people and you're afraid you're going to screw up and then you think about all those things. But this week particularly, I've been thinking a lot about how excited and nervous I am going through this particular subject, because if there is even one person who comes around here to one of these services this weekend who is not a Bible reader or maybe has lapsed in their Bible reading and moves from that point to a regular practice of digging into God's word, the transformational power of just that one person in their life, it's really unbelievable what we get to talk about here today. The potential that we have with being able to access God through his word is just immense. I want to begin with a question here this morning. What is, or maybe what is one of, the most memorable day of your life? Now, you might be one of those people that's like, okay, I don't really want to have to choose one or so. Maybe think of several that kind of pop into your head as memorable days in your life. Not necessarily the best day of your life, or it could be, though. I mean, it could be a milestone day. It could be your wedding day, or could be the birth of your child. Could be your own birth was very memorable for you. I don't know most of you, so but a memorable day for some reason, kind of a day of days that just kind of stands out for you. Okay, you've got that in your head or several of those that are kind of popping into your mind. About 2,000 years ago, there was a young teenage girl who had a day of days. It was so memorable that she and also this particular day in her life are still pretty well known and famous even now, thousands of years later. You can look up the backstory if you want in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. Let me just summarize it for you. The young girl, you might have heard of her. Her name is Mary, or was Mary. She was from a town called Nazareth, and she was engaged to a young man named Joseph. Now, we don't know for certain what her age would have been, but in their culture, a person would have gotten engaged, especially the young girl, somewhere in their early to mid-teenage years. So let's just call her 14-ish years old, okay? And she is engaged to be married. It's likely that she was very much looking forward to her own upcoming wedding as going to be sort of this huge, memorable day in her life. And that's where the story gets crazy. Because an angel named Gabriel was sent from God and came to visit Mary. Now, I don't know about you, but whatever day you are holding as your most memorable or that list of things, Mary's day, I think, just kind of got over the top of yours. It certainly did for mine. When an angel of God comes to visit you, that's a big day. And as you can imagine, Mary, we're going to see her in a moment, was very terrified. We've talked about this. When angels come and are present, we fall on our faces in fear. And Mary actually has a conversation with the angel. The angel says, first thing, do not be afraid, because I can see the look of fear on your face, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you are going to conceive and give birth to the Son of God. Call him Jesus. And Mary's like, wait, what? I don't think so. That doesn't seem right. How is that going to happen? He goes, no. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will take care of all the details, right? Nothing will be impossible with God. I would guess, in fact, I think I could probably guarantee that up to this point in Mary's life, she's never had a day quite like this one. I mean, in a flash, her life is forever changed. Nothing is going to be the same going forward. Now, there's lots of ways that Mary could have responded in this kind of critical moment in her life. And what fascinates me is that her response is that she sings a song. The song is recorded in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. I would sing the song for you, but I don't know the melody, so I don't want to steal Mary's thunder. So I'm just going to read the words that Mary sang out loud in response to these incredible circumstances in her life. They're in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Now, Mary could have had a lot of responses to this visit from the angel Gabriel. She could have been angry. What are people going to think? This isn't what I was planning. What's going to happen? She could have been confused. Understandably, she could have been terrified. She could have had doubts. Maybe all of those things were churning inside her. We don't really know for sure. What we do know is how she responded. Mary sings a song of faith. She gives glory to God. Notice how much of what she sings there is about him and about what he's doing and about him pointing to God. How did she respond with such a level of humility, with such certainty in God's promises in the midst of this circumstance? The short answer to that question is this: Mary, I think, was a young woman who pursued God's word, who absorbed God's word, and who kept God's word. I think we're going to see that here this morning, because in the midst of this thrilling and challenging day, the song that Mary sings, the incredible thing about it is that it's straight out of the Bible. The first few words, I think, are Mary's own, but then she pulls from 6, maybe 8, maybe 10 different psalms from the Old Testament and strings them together into this beautiful song of truth that she sings into her circumstances. And by reflecting on and believing in God's word in such a critical moment of her life, Mary reveals a deep faith that I think God probably had developed within her through her intimacy with God's word in the first place. It was God's word that shaped her for this moment, and truth from God's word was also her response to this moment. And so we're going to look for just a few minutes this morning at the wisdom literature, three little sections just in the Psalms, Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 119. First, to help us understand why even bother with the Bible. What's the why? And then the how. How can we best pursue, absorb, and keep God's word? Now, there are 150 chapters in the Psalms. and a whole range of topics and situations that the writers of the Psalms write their songs into or in light of. And it's interesting to me, given this sort of sweeping range that the Psalms have to cover, the way the Psalms begin fascinates me. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, when you see that phrase, they're talking about the portion of the Bible that existed up till then, the Torah, the Old Testament narrative. They had part of the text, not everything that we have, but when they say the law of the Lord, that's what he's referring to. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Okay, so there is this man who is consumed by the word of God. He delights in it. He meditates on it day and night all the time. What impact does this have on his life? Well, there's sort of three categories that we see in this passage. The first one is that he receives direction. How should I walk? Where should I stand? How do I sit? Where do I sit? Not with the wicked or with the sinners, the scoffers, but with the Lord. God's word is like a giant arrow pointing toward Jesus and how we can best follow him. He receives direction. He also receives nourishment, like a tree planted by streams of water, right? How do I survive? How do I sustain my existence? How do I grow? By planting myself in a place where I can consistently absorb God's word. Direction, nourishment, and then protection. It says that its leaf, the leaf of this tree, does not wither. It's not like the wicked who are like the chaff that the wind is blowing back and forth. The word of God provides protection, stability, permanence, roots, right? In the face of the wind that the world is going to sweep through. God's word gives us strength. It protects us from just being tossed about. And the best part about this, when we start to dig in and read about what God's word provides in our lives, protection, nourishment, direction, it's better than we could provide for ourselves, and usually better than we could imagine that he would provide for us. Moving over to Psalm chapter 19. In verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." God's word is exactly what it needs to be. It's perfect. Reviving the soul. There's that nourishment, right? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." There's the direction. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether." See, God's word, it revives, it enlightens, it makes wise, it rejoices, it comforts, nourishment, protection, direction. And it does so in a way that is perfect, sure, right, pure, enlightening, clean, eternal. It says it's enduring forever. We have the very words of God at our fingertips, whenever we have access to them, whenever we want to. We'd be crazy not to dive into God's word. That's the why. But how? How do we do that? Well, let's go back to Mary. Think about what would have had to have happened for Mary to be able to just bust out into this psalm song that she did right on the spot, just spontaneously. She didn't go look anything up. Just in the moment, she was able to just kind of put this thing together. Remember, she's probably only 14 years old. She knew the Psalms well enough to be able to recall the passages that were most relevant to her circumstances from memory and then piece them together into this song that correctly applied God's word to her life. That means that at some point in her life prior to this, she wasn't born with that knowledge, with that understanding of the Psalms. She had developed a desire to pursue God's word. Or at minimum, somebody had that desire for her, maybe somebody in her family or their community, but she was pursuing it. She had a hunger, a thirst. She was curious. She was interested. She was pursuing God's word. Then she didn't just pursue it, but she was able to remember a lot of it. She had absorbed a great deal of God's word through reading it or hearing it read to her or singing it, or maybe she had some discussion or whatever it might be at the family dinner table. We don't know how, but probably hundreds and hundreds of hours of exposure and repetition went into that part, and she had developed the practice of knowing how to keep God's word. She evidenced that in the way she connects it with her life. Pursue, absorb, and keep. Let's look at those three one by one because they're described throughout the Psalms. Continuing on here in Psalm 19, we read verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Verse 10, "More to be desired are they than gold." And not just a little itty-bitty piece of cheap gold, "even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb." It begins with this desire, more to be desired. In the Bible, you'll often see God's word is compared to food. The word of God is like water or bread or milk, or in this case, it's compared to honey. Now, we eat food because we need it, and we eat food because it tastes good, right? I can't remember the last time a whole day went by when I didn't remember to eat some food. Most of the time, we have a strategy for this, right, in our lives that we're going to, because we need it to sustain ourselves. Our body starts to say, get some food, right? And then when we have the opportunity to eat something really delicious, we usually do it, right? There's like that donuts right in front of us. We're like, I think I'm going to have that donut because I want to eat some food. You know, it's because we need it and because we like it. And the idea of this passage is that God's word is so much sweeter, so much more powerful to sustain. We need to develop this hunger, this thirst, to come to the table and eat, a curiosity, a pursuit. Now, you are already doing a great job by being here this morning. Our promise to you, whatever venue that you attend, whatever weekend, is that we are going to start with the truth of God's word, and we're going to talk about that here each weekend at our weekend services. A big group environment where you can hear the word of God taught and reflect on it is an awesome step in terms of just saying, hey, I'm going to go somewhere where I can be pursuing. Now, we don't have a whole lot of discussion here about what we're talking about during these weekend services, so I would encourage you also to have some space in your life where you can get around with a circle of people and really kind of bat God's word around, talk about it, discuss it, go deeper kind of into connecting it. We at Riverview, we provide life groups for that. We have about 130 life groups, about 1,400 people that each week or every other week they get together. In this series right here for the Wise Word series, the first question that we asked each week in all of the life group settings was, what does God's word have to say about this topic? Let's start there. Okay? Maybe it's with your family. Maybe it's with the folks you're on a ministry team with or the folks you work with. Some kind of smaller circle in addition to the big kind of weekend service is good. And then also, I think it would be wise to have some time built into your life where just by yourself, you're able to open up God's word and just reflect and think and read and do it that way as well. Try something. Right, maybe you have been interested in this Wise Words series. You might want to go back through the Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the Proverbs. There's 31 days in July. Maybe you just nibble on a little bit each day. Or maybe you're more interested in just, what does the Bible say? I want to know more about what the Bible says about the Word of God. Maybe you just study through Psalm 119. We're going to look a little bit at that here in a moment. There's 176 verses in Psalm 119. Almost every one of them talks about the Word of God. Our next series is going to be in 1 Peter. We're starting that next weekend. Maybe you just want to read along a little bit in 1 Peter. There's 5 chapters, something on your own as well. Pursue and then absorb. We've talked about this throughout the series. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. That's exactly right. Yes. You got to get it. Psalm 119 in verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And in this section, we see the movement or the connection between pursue and absorb. He talks about this delight, this seeking, this thirst, right? And then he describes all the ways that he's going to absorb the word of God. He says, I'm going to guard. I'm not going to wander. I'm going to store it up. Teach me this, O Lord. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to fix my eyes on it. I am not going to forget God's word. It's like a sponge. Sponges absorb. When you put them near moisture, the moisture sort of just gets up into the sponge. The word of God gets from here to here as we read it, as we reflect on it, as we proclaim it, as we discuss it, and as we, dare I say, memorize it. Now, that's a lot, right? You start thinking about, okay, I have been maybe tried reading the Word of God and don't know much about the Bible. This is a little bit overwhelming. The good news is God is here to help us with this. For those who are in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, literally, to help us understand God's Word. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. This is the word of truth. And as we read the scripture, God is right there helping us to understand it, helping us to connect it, helping us as we read through it. Did you realize that the Bible is the only book where the author of the book, who is also the subject of the book, comes and lives inside the readers of the book to help them understand the book? In the Psalms, there are 150 chapters, like I mentioned. There are 2,461 verses, 43,743 words in the Psalms. In Mary's time, the Psalms were the worship language in their community. That's the same thing is true for Hebrew communities now to this day. And in their time, the women were the worship leaders in their home, which means by the time Mary was 14 and she was about to get married, she probably would have committed all of the Psalms to memory. Let me try over here. Which means by the time she was 14 years old, Mary would have committed, come on now, all of the Psalms to memory. Yes. Wow. How is that even? You guys don't care about that, but these guys over here, that is unbelievable. Impossible. There's no way at 14 years old, right, that a person could remember that many verses and that many. Okay, now finish these for me, okay? Stop, collaborate, and? If you liked it, then you should have put a? Player's gonna? That's right. See, you guys know a lot of verses. It's just that not many of them are Bible verses, right? It's exactly right. We have the capacity to absorb all kinds of things, right? And whatever your things that you're interested in, you tend to be pretty educated about. Maybe it's not music or whatever. Maybe you're have memorized the entire Cleveland Cavaliers roster. Or maybe you know all of the contestants on The Bachelorette. Or maybe, and God still probably loves you if that's true. I don't know if that's true or not. But we can absorb. Honestly, our capacity is massive. It requires intent and time and repetition and curiosity. Let's try that one phrase again. I like that in Psalm 119 in verse 10. Let me not wander from your commandments. Say that with me. Let me not wander from your commandments. One more time. Let me not wander from your commandments. Now, if you're like me, there will be a situation this week where that verse will probably be really helpful to you, where you're faced with a situation and you know the right thing to do and you're not sure if I'm gonna click this or if I'm gonna go here, if I'm gonna say this and everything, and you might just benefit from having that little bit of the Word of God stored in you and say, you know, God, in this moment, let me not wander from your commandments. Please help me to not wander. The reason why that's in the Bible is because we are likely to wander from God's commandments, right? Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, he says, that I might not sin against you. It's this idea of pursue, then absorb, and then keep. He says, I've stored up the word in my heart, not just so that I can have it there, but so that when I get into a situation where I need it, I can use it so that I might not sin against you. When I come into this exact moment where I think, I've got this choice because the word of God has been embedded in there, I might choose to not wander in that moment. We pursue, we absorb, we keep. Back to Psalm 19, verse 11. Sweeter also than honey, drippings from the honeycomb are God's words. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. In keeping them, there is great reward. See, a sponge filled with water is no more valuable than a dry one until you use it. We need to wash something to take action. It's not enough to merely read the word and to know it, although those are not small things. If you're doing that, you are going to practice it. We need to keep it. We take action. We trust the promises. We obey the commandments. We apply it actively and correctly in our lives. Mary was not the only one that did this. Even if you just read the rest of Luke chapter 1, you see a situation where Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's dad, was faced with sort of a similar set of circumstances, trying to figure it out, and he quotes the Psalms, I think 6 or 7 different Psalms. There are over 100 different instances in the New Testament where the authors quote the Psalms. That's just from the Psalms. There are lots of other Old Testament books in the Bible that are quoted by New Testament authors. And the reason they do that is in order to communicate truth, to apply it, to apply wisdom, to connect to God's character in the various circumstances that they faced. Jesus himself quotes the Psalms 11 different times in his teaching that I could find. And so as you read the word, think to yourself about application questions. Is there a promise for me to remember here? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there a verse that would be good for me to memorize? And most importantly, I think, and this one I think was pretty easy for Mary, how does this connect me to Jesus? Where is Jesus here? Because ultimately, as we pursue and absorb and keep the word of God, we do so in order to pursue and absorb and keep our relationship with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, it says that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the human embodiment of this book. Every time you interface with God's word, you are encountering Jesus Christ. Now, all of the promises that Gabriel made to Mary came true. She did have God's favor. She did give birth to the Messiah. She did name him Jesus. Jesus lived for 33 years teaching the word, living the word, exampling the word in his life. And then he was sent to the cross to die for you and for me and for all of mankind, right? This was the day of days in Jesus's life. I was thinking about this, by the way, for me, in my life, there's a few days that I've been thinking about it. Man, this was a memorable day. June 15th of 1986 was the day of days in my life, the most memorable day, because that's the day that I put my trust in Jesus Christ. And that was just 30 years ago now. And from that day forward, the trajectory of everything in my life has been completely different because of what God has done in my life through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this week. One of the things that happened after that day was I got involved with this small group of guys, and the guy who led it, every time we would get together, he would have us memorize a little verse together. And one of the first ones that we memorized was in Hebrews 12, verse 3. This was almost 30 years ago that I memorized it. And I've been thinking about it all week because I've been weary. I mean, I'm exhausted. And it's just been that sort of season. Maybe you've been there where you've just been so tired, just emotionally, physically, just exhausted, weary. And Hebrews 12, 3 says, "Consider Jesus, who has endured such trial by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart." And I, when I memorized that verse years ago, I just knew what it said. And it's come back around. Hardly a day goes by these days when I am weary. And that verse, one of the cool things about what God does is you may be reading the Bible and go, why am I reading this? Or what does this have to do with my life? He'll bring the word back around if you store it in your heart when he is ready to do so. I had a guy last night that came up to me and he said, dude, you're talking about those Psalms. When I was a kid, my parents we had to recite all of Psalm 23 before we ate dinner every single night. And I hated it because I was so hungry. I just wanted to eat the dinner. We had to do Psalm. Psalm 23 is "The Lord is my shepherd." You may be familiar with that Psalm. And he says, now I'm so thankful because I can't get the words of that psalm out of I'll never forget it. And there are so many situations where I'm thinking, the Lord is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me, right? Jesus hung on the cross and he made two very famous statements if you've been around the church or around the Bible. The first one, it says in Matthew 27, 46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He said, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' which is Aramaic, meaning, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" That statement is actually a quote, word for word, from Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. Like his mother, when things got crazy, on his day of days, Jesus reaches back for the word, for direction, for nourishment, for protection, for truth in the midst of his circumstances. Then in Luke 23, 46, Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. This was probably the most significant day in the history of the world, Jesus dying on the cross for all of us. And again, in that moment, what he said was a direct quote, this time from Psalm 31:5. The entire verse says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." Jesus grabs a hold of God's promises and fulfills them at the same time. Do you know there are at least 16 different chapters of Psalms that have sections of them that foretell the coming of the Messiah, and that Jesus Christ fulfilled every single one of those? He taught the word, he fulfilled the word, he was and he is the word. Now, all we've done here this morning is look briefly at a couple of little sections in the Psalms, and yet even just this small little morsel has given us a huge taste of the power and truth that lies within the pages of this book. The truth, friends, is this: every day is a day of days. Every day is memorable. We need Jesus Christ every day, which means that we have the opportunity every day through the scripture to find strength, to find nourishment, to find protection, direction through Jesus. I urge you to pursue the word, to absorb the word, and to keep the word. Say it with me one more time from Psalm 119, verse 10. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let's pray. God, help me to not wander from you, from your wisdom, from your truth, from your promises, from your commandments. Thank you for saving me, for saving many in this room, for the work that you have done in our lives, for the work that you are doing through this community. And just help us, Lord, through the power and wisdom of your word, your spirit, to grow, to be nourished, to become more like you, so that we can glorify you and spread the name of Jesus around here in our community. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.